fixed a guitar in heaven?
Oh, definitely. Well, I'm going to play.
You know, I heard a story. Phil Keaggy, he's what they call a guitar virtuoso. And he asked, if you were stranded on a desert island, would you take your electric or your acoustic guitar? And he said, I take my acoustic. So, well, good morning. Well, last week, we almost finished our study, so we're going to continue on, but I expanded it, the last point. So turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll talk about it. So is everybody doing well? Everybody cool this morning? Glad you're alive? All right. Glad you're awake? Well, man, you know what? I've been a bad boy this week. I've been staying up late. And yesterday I slept in, and, you know, usually on the weekends, I don't use an alarm to wake up. I just wake up when I wake up. And usually I wake up, hey, there goes Donovan's brother. And usually I wake up, probably 7:30. Yesterday I almost woke up at 9. Whew. That's like late. But it was good. So, stretch. All right. Last week we covered what true leadership means. And it's a true leadership in the kingdom of God is really learning to be a servant, learning to submit. A good leader is a leader who serves and who's able to submit to others. And we're going to talk about that today. And it's good. In a study called The Pearl of Submission. And Jesus left us the thought that the first step to leadership is servanthood. And a true servant is a leader who seeks for the best of those he serves. So if you have leadership qualities, I pray that your leadership qualities aren't qualities of bossiness, because there's some who have the gift of bossiness. You do this and you do that, but their motivation is for themselves and not seeking the best of others. And that's what a true leader does, is seeking the best of others. And so in this study, The Pearl of Submission, let's talk about some jewels. Jewels are very interesting. But do you realize that every jewel goes under an agonizing, painful process? For example, gold is mined in the earth. And then it's through a process how they find gold. They dig into the earth. They're tearing into the earth. You know, if you're a piece of gold, you may not like that. You might say, well, I like it here, buried underneath all these rocks in this soil. I've been here for centuries. This feels great. And here comes a miner and says, here you are. We're going to rip you out of the earth. It's painful. And then once they retrieve the gold or they harvest the gold, what happens next? It goes to a foundry. They melt it. Fire. Hot. The gold says, this is hurts. It burns. And they purify the gold. They take all the impurities from the heat because it rises to the top. And they purify the gold. And then the gold is hammered, fashioned into a piece of jewelry. That's a painful process. You're that piece of gold, and the goldsmith says, look at this ring. I got this lump, and he probably puts it on some kind of anvil, and bang, 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 and starts fashioning this gold. And before you know it, it's a beautiful piece of jewelry. But it took a painful process. The gold had to submit to the craftsman. The gold had to put itself under the the workmanship of the craftsman. Now, diamonds, like gold, you know, you have to tear into the earth. And then it is cut. And it's distributed. And then a jeweler comes, a diamond cutter comes, and he looks in it with his little spectacle, and he just knows how to cut it in the right place so that it has the right sparkle and the right shine and the right shape. Well, if you were a piece of diamond, you probably wouldn't like that. Hey, what are you doing cutting that piece of me off? I don't like this. But then again, the diamond has to submit to the craftsman. You know, pearls are interesting. Did you know that a pearl is created when a little piece of sand or a parasite or some kind of irritant ends up in an oyster and the stuff called nacre surrounds it? And it starts building up so that it doesn't irritate the inside of the pearl. And pretty soon this beautiful jewel is created. Does it happen overnight? They say, I read last night, it says it takes about 3 years for a commercial pearl to be formed. Probably the big giant pearls, the really expensive one, probably takes longer, like 10 years. But it's a slow, painful process for the oyster. No, we're talking natural pearls. And so it takes time and it's a painful process, but the pearl is eventually submitted to the craftsman, placed in a setting, placed on a necklace so that the world can see this beautiful jewel. Do you realize you two are like God's jewels? When God grabs a hold of your life, he tears into you. And, you know, some of us don't like that. I go, ow, God, this hurts. You mean I have to give up this sin? But I like this sin. And God works and he starts tearing apart at your heart and he starts purifying you. But God is a master craftsman. But you know what we need to do? As believers, we submit to him. We lay our lives down in faith and trust him to do the work. He wants to fashion us into a piece of beautiful jewelry that reflects his glory. Just like a bride-to-be, she gets her engagement ring. What does she do? Look at this. Look, it sparkles. You know. And the fiance goes, yeah, she's mine. Look at her ring. That's my babe. She's my jewel. You know, and so it reflects the glory. And God wants to show you guys off. My daughter, her name is Juliana. Juliana, and I call her Juliana. And I have this game with her where she wraps her arms around my neck, and I go, hey, everybody, have you seen my Juliana necklace? It's something that you're very proud of. And that's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to fashion you like a jewel and say, this is my son. This is my daughter, who I'm very well pleased. God wants to do that work in your heart. But our responsibility, our job is to submit to him. And so let's go to his workbench. Let's look at verse 6. Well, let's read the whole thing in context first. 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll read the first 6 verses. The elders who are among you, I exhort you, who I am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also the partakers of the glory that will be revealed. The glory of God. God's going to reveal his glory in you. When you die and go to heaven, you're going to be made like him. you will be glory. And I think Chris was singing about, we will be shining as the sun. Think about that. When you're in heaven, you're going to radiate the glory of God. You know, there's a story about Moses. He said, God, let me see your glory. Moses, I would love to show you my glory, but no man can live and see my face. And so I'll tell you what, Moses, go up to the mountain and I'll show you a part of me, my glory. And Moses went to the mountain and God showed him who he is, the gracious and compassionate God, abounding of love and faithfulness, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That's his glory. The Bible says God is light and there's no darkness in him at all. Can you imagine? You are created to be a light being. Light. You know, we see the glory of the sun. You know, we can't look at the sun, you know. Because, you know, if you stare at the sun, what are you going to do? You're going to destroy your retina. You're going to destroy your cornea because they're not designed to receive that kind of light. But when you go to heaven, you're going to reflect God's glory. And so, let's continue on. He says, shepherd the flock which is among you, serving as an overseer, not by compulsion, but willingly, out of a free heart. And you as God's jewels lay upon his altar, his workbench, as living sacrifices, as Romans 12 tells us. Lay there. Verse 3 says, not being as lords with those entrusted, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the what? The crown of glory that does not fade away. You know, the Bible talks about the glory of youth. You guys are young, right? Yeah, I'm young. You have a glory that God has given you, the youth. You have almost unlimited energy. And as you get older, you're going to get to a point where you're going to feel like Superman if you keep yourselves in good shape. But soon enough, that glory fades. I used to have muscles up here, and now they're down here. It'll eventually happen. That's not funny, Julian. But that's the glory. And here God wants to give you a glory that does not fade away. And so, stay on his workbench. Verse 5. Okay, we're getting to our text we're going to go to. Likewise, you younger, that's you guys, people, submit yourself to your elders. I guess, you know, maybe that's me, Kevin, your parents. We are to look out for your best interest. It doesn't mean that we're not the know-it-alls, but we do know a lot more than most of you because we've lived life. What's that? Yeah, we're going to try to do our best. Believe me. If you guys are like my kids now, believe me, I'm going to try to do what's best and right for you because I love you guys. Absolutely. And you're getting to that age where you want to stretch out on your own, do things on your own. You want to hang out with the friends, and you know. But you know what? Your parents know what's best for you. You think, man, that's no fun. You get any cop an attitude. You know, I know that because I was young once too. But you know what? Thank goodness for when your parents say no. You know why? Because it teaches you patience. But you know, maybe God's speaking to their heart. Maybe God has given them discernment. And you go and disobey and you find yourself up in a whole amount of trouble that you didn't count on. Trust God in it. God has your best interests in mind. And God is not a joy killer, believe me.
God is a joy fulfiller. He wants you to have a blast with life. But he wants you to do it on his terms because he knows what's best. Submit yourself to, as elders. Yes, all of you. Oh, who's all? How much is all? What's that? Go ahead, Ian, tell me. Everybody. That includes me. All of you be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So we're going to look at verses 6 through 7, and we'll touch a little bit on verse 5. Let's look at verse 6 together. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Here, when you see a therefore in the Bible, Pastor Skip always taught us to see why it's there for. It's a conclusion. He's saying, oh, well, all this, humble yourselves, care for one another, don't be greedy, do things out of a willing heart. So therefore, humble yourself. What does it mean to humble? And this, we have a jewel, we talked about jewelry when we opened up this, and we talked about how gold is fashioned. It's fashioned by fire, and I call this the fire. What is humility? Go ahead, Casey. Okay, well, we'll come back to you. Anybody else? Julian, are you raising your hand or are you just scratching your head? He's thinking. Well, I'll tell you what humility, the word means to make yourself lower or to fall under rank. That is humility. It is not our nature to fall under rank. We want to do our own thing most of the time. That's human nature. That's the flesh. And here God is, you know, our nature is to do, we do what we want to do and do it whenever we want to do it. That's our nature. And God is saying, okay, now you got to humble yourselves and bridle your will to doing his will or my will, your parents' will. That takes humility. And that is fire to our hearts sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to obey, isn't it? Yeah. Even for me. But I have to humble myself and fall under God's grace, fall under his will, under his direction. That takes humility. Humble yourself. And so Peter is reminding us, as the body of Christ, we need to humble ourselves, to fall rank under the mighty hand of God. Now, what is our attitude when we do this? What do you think it should be? What should our attitudes be like when we humble ourselves to our parents, our elders, to God? Because ultimately, guys, you're doing it all unto the Lord. We talked about last week is what's the importance of submission? What is the most important thing? Why should we obey our parents? And we discovered that if we can't obey our parents here on earth, what makes you think we're going to be able to obey God whom we can't see? Right? If you can obey your parents or the authority in your life here on earth, it's going to be a lot easier to submit yourself to God, whom you cannot see. And so the attitude of that is not to do it grudgingly. You know, your parents tell you, clean your room, and suddenly you cop an attitude. I have kids, I know. I was a kid, I know. That's the way I was. I'm not saying it's right. It was wrong. What is the fruit of your obedience to your parents? What is the fruit of it? What happens when you disobey? Yeah, it's not a happy day, is it? You know, I mean, it's like, it's almost like a no-brainer thing, you know? It's like, hello? Why do you want to have a rotten day, get your parents all upset with you? When you, all you have to do, the simple thing is like, okay, Mom, okay, Dad, I'll do it. Clean my room, not a problem. Let me teach you a secret. If you, you know, if you hate cleaning, learn to clean as you live. Don't wait till it all piles up. That's when it becomes really hard. Because if you learn to clean up as you go, it's a lot easier because it's always clean. It's not like you have to spend an hour cleaning because you've spent a little 5 minutes here, 2 minutes there, 5 seconds there. Just, oh, my socks are on the floor. Throw them in the hamper. Boom. No big deal. Do it quickly. Just practical. But anyway, our attitude is to be good, not grudging, but gladly and by faith. When you, let's say your parents tell you something and you disagree with them, then go like this. Say to yourself, okay, Lord, they're the authority in my life, and so by faith and my trust in you, I'm going to obey them, and I'm going to do it gladly. Because there's fruit to it. Because we haven't got to the rest of the story yet. When you live a life like that, your parents are going to trust you more. They're going to give you more responsibility. And by golly, they're going to be so stinking proud of you. That's my boy. That's my daughter. Really. And so do it with a great attitude. You know, it's important to humble yourselves. There'll be fruit in the long run. When you live a lifestyle of obedience to God, there will be big fruit that you will be delivered from. You know, we live in a sinful world. It's bad enough. We live in a sinful world, and we can't control other people's actions, but we can control our own actions. That we can control. And we can control the decisions that we make. We can't always control the decisions other people make. So why add to the troubles that can be in this world by making bad decisions? For example, you know, I mean, I see the decisions that some kids that I grew up with when I was in mid-high, when I was your age. I think of a guy named Gilbert. He was a great athlete. The girls dug him. He was a cute guy. He was a good athlete, popular at school. But he got himself involved in drugs. And years later, after we graduated, I saw him. And he was walking around like a homeless person. This guy had wonderful gifts that God has given him. A great personality. He was fun to be with. He was a funny guy. He was a good athlete. He was bright. But he got involved with a gal named Marijuana. You know her, Mary Jane. Started there. And started getting involved in other things, and it messed up his mind. I've seen that with another fellow that I knew. He was a great track athlete. In the seventh grade, I went to, before it was mid-high, it was called junior high, and it was seventh through ninth. And this guy was an awesome cross-country runner. As a seventh grader, he ran varsity, and he never lost a race. This seventh grader beat all the ninth graders. We get into high school, met that gal, Mary Jane's sister, and just started going down. The guy could have got a scholarship running college. But, you know, he chose a direction that wasn't good. Make good decisions, guys. Humble yourself to God's way. Humble yourselves to your parents because they love you and they care for you. And there'll be great fruit at the end of it. There'll be good fruit because God has a plan for your life. I don't know how he's going to choose to use you, but he wants to use you as a jewel. Look at my son. Look at my daughter. Look at my glory reflecting through their lives. And so that's important. So we saw the jeweler's fire, which is humility and submission. Let's look at the jeweler's care. Now look at verse 6. Now notice what kind of hand we are submitting or humbling ourselves under. What kind of hand does it say? Read the text. What kind of hand? How is he describing that hand? Say that again. A mighty hand. Wow. What picture does that bring to you? Strength. Power. But you know what? God has awesome hands. He's not there just to crunch you down. These hands are, his hands are powerful and mighty and strong, yet they're very gentle. You know, when my daughters were born, if I wanted to, I could have crushed their heads. Dad has a mighty hand. Crunch! But no. What kind of hands were they? They were gentle. And that's the same kind of hand God has. They're mighty and strong. It's kind of like this. You know, have you ever heard? It says, God has an iron fist and a velvet glove. Powerful and strong, yet velvet is soft and smooth and gentle. And so, God has a mighty hand to love you, and he has a mighty hand to protect you, and a mighty hand that always has your best interest in mind. God wants these hands to hold you. Can you think of other things God's hands has done for you? Can you think? Nails through his palms. Nails through his hands. To pay a penalty that you could not pay. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for a pearl. A pearl of great price. He searches high and low. He searches everywhere. And when he finds it, he will pay any price to get that pearl. Guess who that pearl is? You. He paid the ultimate price with his mighty hands. He willingly died. Yes. Ready to go? Give me about 3 minutes. Okay? All right? And that's important to know that. Notice that what his motivation is. Look at verse 6. After the mighty hand of God, comma, what does he want to do with you? With those mighty hands? Woo! Exalt you. Here you say, go low. Eaton, be low. Humble yourself. And what's God going to do with that mighty hand of you? He's going to lift you up and say, look at my jewel. Look at my Juliana. He's going to exalt you. He's going to lift you up. You can go now. He's going to, do you need to go too, Julian? Okay. Gilbert, you're in charge. Go ahead, walk around that way. What are you thinking? Yes. Yeah. And so he wants to lift you up. What's that? Okay, whatever. Do what you need to do. I can't hear you. But he wants to lift you up and exalt you. And notice what kind of time. Notice what kind of time? Due time. Does that mean it happens right away? How long did it take that pearl to be formed?
About 3 years.
Well, I'm not saying it's going to happen to you in 3 years, but the point is it takes time. When a jeweler gets a piece of jewelry, do you think he could pop it out in a half hour? Well, it's a fine piece of jewelry. It takes time, doesn't it? God is working in your life. And in due time, he's going to exalt you. He's going to lift you up. And if he doesn't do it here on earth, he's going to definitely do it in heaven. When you die and you see Jesus, what's he going to say? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Welcome to the kingdom of your joy. You've been faithful in the little things. And here I'm going to make you a servant of many things. God wants to exalt you in due time. You know, God in his wisdom knows when to lift you up. And usually he knows when to lift you up when you have reached that level of submission and humility. God resists the proud. Think about that. What does he mean by the proud? Does that mean like if you accomplish something, you're all... He resists that? No, God is like cool. When he talks about the proud, he's talking about people who say, I know better than God. He's talking to people who say, well, you know, I really don't need God. You know, I'd rather live in my own sin. I'd rather do things my way. That's the proud. He's not talking about somebody like Josh. If he hit a home run and, you know, and he thinks, wow, that's cool. God is not going to resist you. But he will resist you if it goes to Josh's head and he gets so big and he thinks, I'm the world's greatest baseball player and all you guys are ants. and he starts thinking it's the team is all about him. That's when he gets into trouble. But Josh, if that ever happened, God in his love will discipline you, so you don't have to worry about that. And I like that because God will do that to me. He disciplines those whom he loves. That's what God means about the proud. But the humble, what does he do? He gives grace. To the humble. Grace. That's the treasure. The jeweler's treasure. We looked at the jeweler's fire and his jeweler's care. Now we have the jeweler's treasure. Verse 5. He desires to, who are willing to humble themselves in his mighty hands. He wants to give them grace. You know what grace is? Does anybody know what grace is? What? Well, yeah. That, you could say that's a good way of saying it. But grace is giving somebody something that you don't deserve. That's grace. God wants to give you things that you don't deserve. You can't earn it. You can't earn God's grace by being a good Christian. God gives it out of the love of his heart for you. The first gift that God wants to give any person is what? Salvation. Do you deserve it? No. Can you earn it? No. It's a gift. He says, here, you want to go to heaven? Do you? You don't want to go to heaven? Okay, good man. I'm going to have Gilbert put you in a headlock and say, you're going to heaven. But God wants to give you that gift. And what do you do when somebody gives you a gift? That's true. You take it and you say thank you. And you know that gift is free? It's a free gift. All you have to do is take it. Well, the only price that you got to pay is his belief. That's the only work you got to do. You got to believe that Jesus died for your sins and that his death paid the full penalty of your sin. It paid what you deserved. All of us deserve to die and go to hell. All of us deserve that because all have fallen sin. All have sinned and fallen short the glory of God. But God desires to give us eternal life to Jesus Christ. God desires none of us should perish. That's why he gave us this marvelous gift. And so he desires to give us grace. He wants us to have a life that's full of meaning and a life that's full of confidence in him and a life that's full of his love. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's what thrills me. That's what me as a Christian keeps me moving. Because I look at his love and his grace, his confidence, the things that he desires to give. And when our lives are full of all that, then we start seeing others through his eyes. And so when somebody says, "Will you pray for me?" It's not like, "Oh, bummer." It's like, "Oh man, what a privilege. I would love to pray for you because I want you to experience the fullness of God." Share the gospel, not a problem. I want you to know the Savior, the one who loves you, the one who created you in your mother's womb, the one who has a plan for your life, and above all, the one who wants to give you heaven. The one who wants to reflect his glory through you. And so it's not a problem. God is graciously given to us. And so let's finish up. Submission has many benefits. Humility. It will help you in your home life because there won't be any fighting because you're obeying. It will help you in your school life because you'll listen to your teachers and you'll be respectful. You know, I believe school can be fun. It could be a blast. But be respectful. Be willing to listen to your teachers. And you'll have fun. Some teachers are more fun than others. But have fun. Enjoy school. Enjoy your friends. But in a godly way. In a godly way. Also, our submission will bring God glory and fill our hearts with joy. Don't you want joy? It's better than happiness. Joy is that inner peace of God, knowing that God loves you and is working in your life. And so I'm going to give you three things that you could take home. Submission points or application points. Learn to submit so that you can be a good leader. Submission leads to good leadership. One of these days, you guys are going to be a leader somewhere. It could be on your baseball field. It'll be at school. It'll be in your family because you have a younger sister, right? Learn to submit. Yeah, you can go. God bless you. Have a good game. Hey. And so, learn to do that. One of these days, you guys are going to be parents. The hardest job in the world. It is the hardest job in the world. You know why? Because there's not really an instruction manual. And in the end, there is some like parenting books. But you know what? Every one of you is different. I can't parent my daughters the same way as I do the next. They're different. So it's a difficult job and it's an emotional job. So learn to serve because your parents serve you guys every day. They serve you by going to work. They serve you by paying the bills. They serve you by feeding you and loving you and just being your parents. And you will have that responsibility someday, God willing. Also, keep your eye on the fact that God cares for you. God loves you. He knows that submission is difficult for us, but He knows that's the best thing for us. And remember, you're going to receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. And finally, be an observer of God's word lived out in the life of Christ. This is what I'm saying. I encourage you guys to read the Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And when you finish Matthew, Mark, and Luke, read it again. And when you read other texts in the Bible, notice how Jesus lived it out in his life. When you learn how Jesus does things, learning to be a servant won't be a hard thing to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for today. I thank you for these guys who are here. I pray, Lord, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, that you would touch their hearts, fill them with your glory. And Lord, I pray that they would know your joy, that they would know the trust you for the benefit of submission, to trust you in the benefit of humility to do your will. Oh God, teach them. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them this week, that you would fill their hearts with your joy and peace. I pray, God, that by faith they would acknowledge your presence and acknowledge your care in their lives for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a good week.